Hello, I'm Andrea Hannon, Executive Director of the Association of Daycare Operators of Ontario, or ADCO, and this is the Childcare Today podcast, where we examine issues of interest to independent licensed childcare operators, both commercial and not-for-profit, the staff they employ, and the families they serve. With me today is Kim Yeaman, the owner-operator of Simcoe Childcare Services in Innisfil, Ontario. Welcome, Kim.
Thanks for having me on, Andrea.
Full disclosure, Kim is on the ADCO Board of Directors, and she and I have worked together for roughly 20 years now. When we first met, she had one center, which was relatively new, and she was making a name for herself by also providing transportation for the children enrolled there, in a big blue bus that she drove by herself. Over the years, I've seen her business grow into two locations and keep enhancing its services to families. In 2022, she signed on to participate in the federal government's Canada-wide Early Learning and Childcare Program, or CEWELC, and now she's just weeks away from having to close her doors for the last time. Kim, thanks for being here and telling your story. Let's get right to it. How did the $10 a day childcare program wind up nearly destroying your business? What happened?
Well, thanks for that question, Andrea. When the Ministry of Education froze their fees on March 27th, 2022, when they signed the federal agreement, centers were still under COVID regulation at that point, and we were really reeling from the past 2 years. There was such upheaval. COVID funding was winding down. Everything had started to stop, and we were trying to figure out where we stood financially and trying to reset our fees at that point. And without a full understanding of how the $10 a day program would run, we had no idea moving forward. So no one had a chance to catch their breath. Yet the fees at that point were locked in. Specifically, our center's fees were already lower than the county Simcoe per diems by a significant amount, as well as the provincial minimums that the province itself had set for the CEWELC program. And this money that our fees that we had did not support the childcare day-to-day operations. During COVID, because we had compassion and commitment to our parents and our community, and we were receiving three levels of funding, we didn't raise fees through COVID as we normally would have. Our normal levels to raise fees every year are 5 to 6% based on the economic climate. Our fees from 2019 to when they were frozen had only gone up by about 5%. So at the time that our fees were frozen, our rates would have been at least 20 to 25% higher based on 13% inflation, as well as the needs of the childcare. So by using these artificially limiting and unrealistic fees as our base rate in the CEWELC program, it seems that we're being punished for our compassion and our commitment to the families that we serve. This severe disadvantage has become abundantly clear over the last 24 months. Coupling this initial disadvantage with the unrealistic low base rate increases of 2.79% and 2.1% means that our rates don't even come close to covering our costs.
Just so everyone understands, your experience then is that the $10 a day program, the federal program, that's supposed to be making licensed childcare more affordable to families is so badly designed that a successful center that participates in it, follows the rules, and doesn't overspend can still wind up going bankrupt. How so?
Well, first of all, the fees were frozen again on the day the province signed the federal agreement for this program. Before that happened, you know, municipalities should have had an opportunity to have lead time and flexibility to review the fees being charged in their communities so that all centers were at a standardized minimum before the fees were frozen. By not doing this, many centers, such as mine, were left at a severe disadvantage right from the start. The province also created tremendous pressure on centers to sign on to this program. First of all, by issuing really, really tight deadlines for the centers to decide. It was quite literally a few weeks, not nearly enough time to review the long-term implications with our accountants or lawyers, etc. While ultimately the province did give the centers more time, they also kept amending the guidelines for participation in the program. So in a lot of cases, centers really weren't in a good position to make informed decisions. And municipalities didn't have the answers if you had questions.
Were there other pressures placed on childcare operators at the time the program was being rolled out that made it more difficult to make a truly informed decision?
Absolutely. The entire process was colored by the fact that the province made this big announcement and promised parents that they'd receive these huge refund checks for their day from their daycare center if they enrolled in the program. These checks were slated to be issued just a few weeks before Christmas and the holiday season, so as to place maximum pressure on childcares to sign on. Some of the centers were even told, it's now or never. You may not be allowed to sign on later and if you don't sign up now. And even if you do, the families at your centers won't get this refund. Keep in mind that this was at a time when so many parents were struggling financially. Some had been locked out of their jobs for over a year, and they were desperate. And centers like mine, we were desperate to help them, to cut them a break after they'd actually been through so much. We were also being told by both the province and the municipalities that the funding formula would be worked out and revised for 2022. And it wasn't. Then for 2023. And then it wasn't. Then for 2024, it wasn't. We're still waiting. Now maybe they'll bring in some changes for 2025, just in time for the end of the current federal agreement in 2026. Basically, as soon as we became vulnerable by agreeing to participate, our rights were gone, yet all the time we're being told, and still are being told, don't worry, we're going to sort it out. The province knew that this replacement of fees was not working. And we keep being told what's happening is not the intent of the program.
You believe that?
Frankly, no. I believe it absolutely was the intent of the federal program. My sense is that I and a lot of other childcare operators, both commercial and not-for-profit, got played by a federal government that wanted to eliminate all private sector participation in childcare, and by provincial and municipal governments that wanted the federal dollars so badly that they were willing to turn a blind eye to it, play the game, keep stringing us along, lie to us, and ultimately throw us under the bus. After all, both the province and the municipalities are still getting paid, and there's nothing to hold them accountable.
Well, Kim, I wish you were the only licensed center owner I've heard this from, but you're not. Thinking about what ADCO members are telling us, only a small minority of the centers participating in the program say it's working well for them. We've already had a couple of our members who run private schools opt to wind down their childcare operations altogether. We've also seen some well-established childcare programs like yours close, typically at lease renewal time. And we've seen a couple of smaller owner-managed companies selling their operations to much larger corporate entities that have some economies of scale that are helping them better manage the ongoing funding shortfall that we've seen with the program so far. Interestingly, though, when we ask centers if they think the program is underfunded, a lot of them say no. What say you?
Andrea, it's really hard to tell, but I am inclined to think that the program is actually quite well funded. But the federal, provincial, and in Ontario, the municipal bureaucracies that have been created to administer this program are so bloated that the funding to centers and to the staff who are actually providing care is being rationed. When you see job postings by municipalities across the province for staff to administer the program, and those salaries are at $80,000 per year, well, at the same time, we are being told that the staff who actually provide the care are only entitled to a dollar or more per hour, and some not at all. You really have to question where the priorities are in this program. Is it really to expand access to childcare, or is it just to expand the public sector childcare bureaucracy?
Certainly, that's a fair question. You know, earlier this year, the official opposition asked the Trudeau government about the size and cost of the federal bureaucracy associated with the $10 a day program. And a written response was issued, noting that the cost is in excess of $9 million per year to cover some 76 full-time equivalents, with nearly $9 million more in operating funding. So that's roughly $18 million a year in taxpayer dollars. But if you think about that for a minute, doesn't 76 people seem like a lot, given that their role is to administer just 13 provincial and territorial funding agreements that only come up for renewal once every 5 years? But as it turns out, in the same written response, the Trudeau government revealed that the Secretariat for the program is also engaged in international relations and consultations with international early learning and childcare stakeholders. Why do they need international relations to administer funding for Canada's domestic childcare program, especially at a time when there are childcare centers filing for bankruptcy? It didn't make any sense. So just so people understand, Kim, in really practical terms, how does all of that impact a childcare center's operation? And what does it mean for your staff, the children in your care, and the families you serve?
The thing is, it's not just about the amount of funding, the lack of inflationary increases, or even the uneven starting points when the freeze kicked in. It's the lack of flexibility in how the funding is used. It's also the micromanaging by government bureaucrats, most of whom have never worked in a childcare center in their lives. The program will not allow centers to actually run their businesses, make decisions, and keep them sustainable. Another huge issue: not being able to increase staff wages, huge problem, not just for the ECE staff, but for all the other team members that are absolutely essential and are required to run a center. This micromanagement by government also increases our center's operating costs dramatically, increasing the paperwork, increasing the amount of staff time that has to be devoted to that paperwork rather than caring for the children or its staff. The amount we've had to spend on accountants and bookkeeping is crazy. It's not optional due to having to meet all the reporting requirements of three different government bureaucracies. I can't tell you how devastating this program has been to Simcoe Childcare Services and the care that we have always been committed to provide. As a community-focused business, Simcoe Childcare Services made this choice during the pandemic to not raise fees, because so many families in our small town were hurting. By just arbitrarily freezing our fees at the levels they were at, with no discussion, no consultation, no negotiation, and no avenue for any kind of appeal, this $10 a day program has left us at a disadvantage ever since. Add to the fact that the funding flowing to the centers hasn't kept pace with inflation, we have absolutely no way of covering our costs.
Obviously, it's not a sustainable situation. It means that small businesses like yours are going to hit a wall. It's just a question of time. How have you managed to hang on so far?
Well, I am personally funding out of my mortgage a minimum of $30,000 per month so that we can pay our bills. Never mind trying to accumulate any surplus to take care of non-routine or unexpected necessary expenses. Within the next 2 years alone, I expect to have to replace the heating units, reshingle the roof, as well as repave the parking lot. These are a few things I know about. Never mind the unexpected things that will happen over the course of regular business. Yet we absolutely have no contingency fund for these very real and very necessary expenses.
How have your staff helped keep the center afloat?
My staff have been absolutely great. Every day, all of us are looking for ways to cut costs without sacrificing quality in our program. Some of these things include: we changed our credit card processor, we discontinued staff uniforms, we scrutinize all of our supply purchases for efficiencies on how and what we buy. We've changed our summer camp program to include less cost for buses, as well as sharing costs between both programs. We even cut the cost of our staff party by half by booking a local hall and cooking the meal all ourselves. Maintaining our staff culture is so paramount in this time of staff shortages that are raging all over this province. Retention of staff is critical to quality. Yet, without any certainty about our future, we have not been able to increase staff rates beyond the government-required minimum wage increases, for which we receive minimal, if any, funding, which is clearly another disadvantage resulting from our participation in the CWOC program.
But the viability of a childcare center isn't just about childcare funding, is it? It's also about how the government manages, or doesn't manage, the economy. So runaway inflation and higher interest rates due to government overspending, higher costs due to the carbon food costs due to the carbon tax, all of these things play a role, I would imagine.
Absolutely, that's true. Our center is facing major cost increases that are out of control due to inflation, particularly in the cost of food. Mortgage rates have gone from 5% to 7.5%, increasing rents nearly $4,000 per month. The cost of accounting has skyrocketed due to the need to hire additional bookkeepers and support to keep up with all the other funding lines and reporting. Massive increases also to our mandatory audit fees. The bottom line is that it is impossible for us to stay in this CWELC program beyond another 2 months. My personal mortgage funds will be depleted, and our business line of credit is already at a maximum. The cost of borrowing all these funds is over 7%, so there are massive interest costs just to maintain where we are now.
I've heard similar kinds of stories from other centers. Why do you think so many centers are still in the program?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, it's hard to leave unless you're absolutely 100% certain that there is enough high-income families in your area that you can replace the $10 a day families that you lose with the families who can afford to pay the full fee. But it is really more than that. There is a fundamental belief that it is so important that all the children have access to safe, high-quality early learning and care. So centers, I know so many of them, were so willing to sacrifice almost anything to make this program work for our parents. I would say a lot of these centers are yet to see a mortgage increase, or they have not been at lease renewal time yet, where they're going to see massive increases. I also think that there's an element of naivety involved. When they signed on, most center owner operators didn't realize that the federal program was being financed entirely with borrowed money and therefore is fundamentally unstable. I also don't think that most of them could believe that ultimately the federal government would be seeking to eliminate all private sector involvement in childcare service delivery, both small business and not-for-profit. It wasn't until Bill C-35 was passed, which enshrines the program into law, that we can begin to see the federal government's messaging changing to emphasize a public sector only system in the future.
Kim, I don't mean to be unkind or indelicate here, but I have to ask the question. What was your center's financial situation like before all of this happened?
Well, prior to participating in the CWELC program, we maintained a fairly stable 7 to 10% surplus. And that surplus would fund our community free events, our major repair costs for the buildings, buses, and as we know, parking lots, with a reasonable allowance for unexpected things to happen. And that money then would be reinvested back into the childcare. This program has absolutely destroyed 22 years of my commitment and dedication to the childcare field and to this community by providing the best quality care we could possibly provide at a reasonable and responsible cost. When I have these conversations with our municipality, they're understanding and keep telling me to wait, that it's being worked on and that this is not the intent of the program. Some additional funding has come forward, not close to enough. Not enough to keep the doors open. While I can appreciate that their hands are tied, I just cannot afford to wait any longer.
Thinking about what's happened to your center, would you say the problem is primarily the way the federal program has been structured, how the province has rolled it out, or how the municipality has administered the funds they have?
You know, it's really difficult to know how much control the municipality has over how the funds are administered. They have funding guidelines that have been passed down from the province and then in turn from the federal government. Like we mentioned before, the administration of this program is going through the province and then the municipalities before it even gets to us. So you have to wonder how much of the funds that could be directed directly to parents and directly to centers is going to the cost of this administration. There doesn't seem to be any transparency or accountability. And there is certainly no avenue for any center to appeal the funds that they're receiving or to ensure that what the government says the cost of care is even accurate. You know, I'm from a small community. Everyone knows what everyone else is receiving. I can tell you that every center in our town and in our region has different costs, higher rent, lower rent, sometimes no rent. And in my case, we have busing that has to be included in our expenses. Centers are so unique in this province that in their facilities, in their programming, yet this program takes a one-size-fits-all approach, completely ignoring any realities. This provincial funding formula, as it stands, is not sustainable for most childcare centers. We have absolutely no control over our finances. We cannot make decisions because there is no certainty of funding 1 month to the next. The province has promised an alternate funding formula for January 2024 because they realized it wasn't working, and this again has been delayed. They have told us since 2022 that this was not working. Since the province keeps stalling about sharing this new formula with us, we can't even begin to plan for the next year. Quite frankly, it's a mess.
What do you think should happen to prevent other centers from going through what you've gone through? What would help?
Well, the first thing would be for the Ontario government to recognize and acknowledge publicly that the federal $10 a day program is so flawed and that the federal agreement is so restrictive that it will never be a viable option for more than a small minority of Ontario licensed centers and a small minority of families they serve. That would free families from being deceived into thinking that the $10 a day program will be there for them when they need it. Because the reality is, for the vast majority, it won't be there. Families need to know now that they should absolutely be prepared to make and to pay for other childcare arrangements. The province should also stop investing Ontario taxpayer dollars in the federal government's failed $10 a day childcare election promise and refocus those dollars on things that we know have worked well for Ontario in the past, like provincial fee subsidies for lower and middle income families, the care tax credit, and the provincial wage enhancement for staff working in all licensed childcare centers.
Coming back to your center for a minute, is there any chance that you could leave the CWELC program and try and restore your viability?
Well, in this situation, there's two choices. Stay in CWELC at the present funding levels and the childcare will close. Or leave CWELC, raise parents' fees, triple what they are now, to stay viable. We know that in this economic climate, those fees are impossible for parents. So we would have the same result, closure.
But aren't there other sources of provincial funding you can tap into?
You know, what we're being told by operators in other areas is that if a center tries to leave this $10 a day program, they do so under threat by their municipality that the provincial wage enhancement for their staff will be taken away, as well as any funding for parents who rely on provincial fee subsidies. We asked our municipality about this, but we're told they can't guarantee anything beyond the end of this year. So for myself and my staff, obviously that speaks volumes. And what it says to me is that the province doesn't care about keeping 250 spaces we provide, the 45 staff we employ, or the disruption that the closure of Simcoe Childcare Services will cause for the hundreds of families who rely on us, or for the economic benefits that we provide through buying goods and services from small businesses in our community.
It sounds like since the province and the municipality are both getting so much money from the feds, that what happens downstream no longer matters to them. I hope I'm wrong in that assessment, but, you know, who knows? But if somebody from the province or the county of Simcoe hears this and cares enough to do anything about it, what could be done to resolve your situation?
Childcare centers need funding right now. Based on budget submitted, including a surplus to allow centers to take care of additional expenses and major repairs as they see fit. Centers have responsibility to control expenses as much as they can, which we have done, but there are realities of increased expenses that cannot be controlled due to inflation, as well as additional costs that have arisen because of the administrative burden of the $10 a day program. There needs to be a rescue fund to keep centers viable until a proper funding formula is actually implemented in Ontario and to address the backlog of urgent facility repairs that independent licensed childcare centers are facing. We're at a point right now where Ontario's existing childcare infrastructure, it is crumbling and collapsing, and some of it will be gone before the end of the year. Then any space creation efforts made under the federal program will actually be space replacements, leaving waitlists even longer than they are now, and all parents with fewer choices.
What happens if nothing is done in the next few weeks?
I hate to say this, but it is going to be an extremely sad end for Simcoe Childcare Services, 22 years of service to the families in Innisfil, thousands of children, and hundreds of families that will close our doors for the last time.
Kim, I'm so sorry you're going through this. On behalf of the entire ADCO membership, I thank you for sharing your story. I know it wasn't easy. And thank you to everyone for joining us today. We'll keep you posted about what happens next on future episodes of ADCO's Childcare Today podcast. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Sandra.